scripture is from Nehemiah chapter 7 verses 1 to 4. Now when the wall was rebuilt and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites were appointed, then I put Hanani my brother and Hananiah the commander of the fortress in charge of Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. Then I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot, and while they are standing guard, let them shut and bolt the doors. Also appoint guards from the inhabitants of Jerusalem, each at his post, and each in front of his own house. Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not built.
旧約聖書ネヘミヤ記の7章1節から4節までを日本語で読みます。城壁が再建され、私が扉を取り付けた時、門営と歌うたいとレビ人が任命された。私は兄弟ハナニとこの城の司ハナヌヤとにエルサレムを治めるように命じた。これはハナヌヤが誠実な人であり、多くの人に勝って神を恐れていたからである。私は2人に言った。太陽が高く昇って暑くなる前にエルサレムの門を開けてはならない。そして住民が警備に立っている間に門を閉じ、かんぬきを差しなさい。エルサレムの住民のうちからそれぞれの見張りどころと自分の家の前に見張りを立てなさい。この町は広々としていて大きかったが、そのうちの住民は少なく、家もまだ十分に建てられていなかった。
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing? Weather's not too bad, huh? It's kind of cool. Praise God. Today I want to talk about faithfulness. And as we read in scripture today, today's scripture reading, there was a man chosen for his faithfulness and because he feared God more than many. And I want to say faithfulness will open doors in your life. Amen. Doors that won't be opened simply by having the right degree or anything else. Faithfulness will open those doors. But before we talk about that, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who are mighty, wonderful, awesome, and amazing, worthy of worship and praise, we come before you, Lord, to bless your holy name. We come together to worship you, Lord, to hear your voice, to be touched by you, to encounter you, God, to come into your presence, Lord, and to be filled with your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Nehemiah 7:2, it says, I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many. And certain doors in your life and in my life can only be opened with a key called faithfulness. Now I want to say, I believe each and every one of us has a degree of faithfulness in our lives. In fact, faithfulness simply is being full, a fullness of faith. Fullness of faith. And so each and every one of us has faith, but certainly not each and every one of us has faith in God. So the fullness of faith is faithfulness. And so whatever your faith is, and you're full of that, it will show in your life and you'll be faithful to that. For example, if your faith is in your own reputation, then you will be faithful in upkeeping your reputation. And you'll do anything and everything possible to upkeep that reputation you have, whatever that reputation may be. If your faith is in money, then you'll be faithful in money. And you'll do everything you can to have money and to increase money. Does that make sense? If your faith is in your family, then you'll do whatever it takes to make sure your family is taken care of. So it will come out in your actions. Whatever your faith is in, whatever your value, your core value, your belief is in, will show in your actions. And you'll be faithful to it. So each and every one of us, we have faithfulness in certain areas of our lives. But of course, in Scripture, when we talk about a faithful person, a God-fearing person, it's their faith in God, and it shows in their action. That they're full of faith in God, and it'll show in their action. And some doors in our lives will not be open unless we're faithful. God-fearing, faithful. Jesus says, you have been faithful with little, I'll give you much more. Whoever is faithful with little, I'll give you much more. So what are you faithful in? What do you make sure gets done in your life? So if you want to work deductively or work backwards, you see what you're faithful in, and then you see where your faith is, because you're full of faithfulness. So what is your faith in? What are you faithful in? What do you make sure you do every day? What moves you? What guides you? What directs you? And if it's not the Lord, it'll show in your actions. It'll simply show in your action. Jesus says, a good tree bears good fruits, and a bad tree bears bad fruits. I love Jesus. He uses food analogy. He knows my heart. My master knows me well. A good tree bears good fruits, and a bad tree bears bad fruits. And it's just about consistency. Consistency. Faithfulness. If you go to an apple tree, it'll constantly produce apples. Right? Lemon tree will consistently produce lemons, etc., etc. And Jesus goes and says, if you want to know a person, what fruit are they bearing in their lives? And when he talks about fruit, it is two things. I believe it's talking about two things. One is, what is that person doing with his life? And two, how is he doing it? What is he doing and how is he doing it? The next slide, it talks about a God-fearing man. And I believe the fear of the Lord will keep you faithful in the right areas of life, because again, we can be faithful in the wrong areas of life. We could be faithful in maintaining a reputation. We could be faithful in money. We could be faithful in et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Having our careers, whatever. Those aren't bad things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't be faithful in those things. Be faithful in every area, but make sure it starts first with the Lord. Yes. Seek first His kingdom, and everything else will fall into place. Amen. And so I'm not saying don't be faithful to your family, don't be faithful to your finances, don't be faithful to your job, don't be faithful to school. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if that is your priority over and above everything else, you have built your life on something that can be taken real quick. It's not a firm foundation. Money is not a firm foundation. Let me tell you, your reputation is not a firm foundation. Your good looks is not a firm foundation. As great as you guys look, your job is not a firm foundation. Most of you know that. Your education is not a firm foundation. Although we have very educated people in this congregation. The Lord is a firm foundation. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He will remain. In fact, when I talk about faithfulness, He is the only one that will be faithful till the end. He is faithful till the end to each and every one of us. Amen. But as God's children, I believe it's important that we learn faithfulness. And I mentioned Jesus talking about the fruit and its trees, consistency. And there's two things when it comes to consistency. It's one, the fruit of the Spirit. How we do things is important. Faithfulness and how we do things. And what do I mean by how we do things? The fruit of the Spirit. I'll list them, but I won't go into great details of what these mean. But the fruit of the Spirit on how to do things is first love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's how we do things. And so if you see in your life you're not moving in this, you're not being consistent to the fruit of the Spirit. It's like saying, I'm an apple tree, but then you're not producing apples. So if you're saying, I'm a believer, I'm Christian, I'm following Jesus, then what people should notice about you is when you live your life and whatever you do, they say, there is love, there is joy, there is peace, there is patience, there is kindness, there is goodness, there is faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now we're not fully matured yet. Obviously we're going to have hiccups. But that isn't to say we shouldn't be growing in these things. The last thing a person wants is a Christian who is not consistent in these areas. The last thing the world needs is a Christian who isn't growing in these areas. Is that not true? Isn't that one of the most frustrating things as a person? I know I do it, but isn't it frustrating when other people do it, when they're not consistent? For example, I'll use a basketball analogy next. I'll use something that maybe all of you can relate to. For example, a child's worst nightmare, not worst nightmare, but a child probably hates a parent that is not consistent in their kindness, but has fits of rage here and there. Then you're on edge as a child. You feel like you're always walking on eggshells. That's horrible for a child. Amen? I don't know if you know that firsthand, but I'm sure you've seen TV shows or something like that where, you know, a kid is just doesn't know when their parents are just going to lose their cool. Now, basketball analogy. I love basketball. No, but in basketball, one of the worst things you want, and in any sport, is an inconsistent referee. An inconsistent referee where...
Or judges.
Inconsistent judges. I think it was Phil who told me, like, the Russian judges always judge the American gymnastic team a little bit stricter than any other team. Right? Right, Phil? Something like that, right? And I'm sure it was vice versa. I'm sure, like, the American judges weren't as nice to the Russian team as well. I mean, it's inconsistent. You don't. It's not fair, and it's just it gets on people. As Christians, it's important to be consistent in how we do things, and that's the basics. That's the foundation of faithfulness. Being full of faith in how we do things. And what is that? The fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Why can I say that really quick? Because it's in Galatians 5, 22, 23. I pray that often. I say, that's one of my prayers. I ask the Holy Spirit, I pray that I could grow in these areas of my life. And my wife is shaking my head. Lord, help him pray that. Lord, help him answer that prayer for him. Yes. I do need to grow in these areas still. But it's important that you do pursue to grow in that area. How you do things. Foundation. But just as important as how is what you are doing, I believe, as well. What you are doing is also important. In John 17:7, Jesus talks about, I glorified God on earth by accomplishing the work which He has given me. Jesus said, I glorify God my Father on earth by finishing all the works He has asked me to do. We bring glory to God by finishing our assignment here on earth. Proverbs 25 says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws it out. The purposes of a person's heart are like deep waters, but a man with insight, a woman with insight, will draw it out. We do have a purpose here on earth. Good works the Lord has placed before us to accomplish. What was Nehemiah's purpose on earth? The good works he needed to finish. It was rebuilding the walls. He needed to rebuild the walls. There was opposition for him to rebuild the walls. And Jesus, his purpose was to raise up 12 disciples, apostles. 12 apostles. He said, I did not lose any one of the ones he gave me except for the one doomed to perdition. His purpose was to raise 12 disciples and go to the cross and finish the good works there. What is the assignment the Lord has placed in your life? And I believe it's important to know that. Not just how you do things, but what you are doing. And let me just say this. The next passage I want to look at is in James 1:2. I just want to say that, you know, for those of us who don't grow in the fruit of the Spirit, it's frustrating for other people. It's frustrating for other people if we don't mature in the fruit of the Spirit. But if we don't mature in our own calling, it's frustrating for us. If we don't grow in the fruit of the Spirit, it's frustrating for other people. But if you don't fulfill your purpose here, it's frustrating for your own soul. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect. And that perfect there doesn't mean flawless or without any flaws. It just means matured and complete, lacking nothing. So as we grow in faithfulness, as we grow in the faithfulness of the Lord, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, the next task is finishing and completing the assignment that the Lord has placed in your life. And when we don't finish it, I believe the opposite of this happens. You're not mature, you're not complete, and you do lack something in your life. And if you feel like I'm lacking something in my life and you're in the Lord, I want to say that the testing of your faith to produce faithfulness or steadfastness has not been completed. That as you were tested, instead of enduring it, you may have backed away from it. Because, like I said earlier in the sermon series, as you move forward in the Lord, you will have opposition. The scripture says, count it all joy when you have opposition. So, when you have trials, when you are tested, count it all joy because you are about to be mature. You are about to have completion, fulfillment, and you are about to have all things instead of lacking nothing. Instead of lacking something, you are about to step into that lacking of nothing. I had a weird dream today. As I was sleeping, my dream was I was in seminary and I got a paper and I didn't get a good grade.
Oh, you two had the same dream.
Oh, wow. See, you had the same
dream. 3 years later, I
3 years later. Well, okay. All right. Seminary, I was in school, I was getting my master's degree, and I get my final paper, and it wasn't a good grade, and this is a hard teacher in my dream. I'm like, this is a hard teacher, and I still have more assignments to do. I'm going to fail this class. That's what I dreamt. When I woke up, the first thing that came to my mind was, I already have my degree. I don't have to pass this class. It's not like, oh, I got to pass this class. I was like, who cares if I fail this class? I don't need to pass this class. I already have my degree. Going through seminary, and for those of you who don't know, seminary is like a three-year full-time. If you go full-time, it's 3 years. It took me a short 10 years to finish. And during those 10 years, it's like, do I really want to do this? And I remember one time in the 10 years, I said, you know what? This isn't for me. And I went to go look for a job. I said, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to find any job. I don't care. This is too hard. This Greek stuff, this Hebrew stuff, it's not for me. So I went, my brother, he worked at the time for State Farm. He got me an interview. I went to the interview. I did well on the interview, surprisingly. And all I needed to do was go online and take a test to show that you're to show that this job is for, it fits you, it suits your personality, you know. I went online, I took the test. And I knew the answers. Like, you know, when you go on these tests and you know the job you're going for, you know the answers they're looking for, right? I don't know if you guys ever had to do that, like a personality test kind of thing. And so I failed it on purpose. And I failed it on purpose because every time I felt like quitting seminary, and I felt that a couple of times, strong couple of times, I kind of felt like Judas. And Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus for 30 silver coins. And I felt like that. I felt like I was going to betray my calling for $30,000 a year or whatever. And so I failed it on purpose. And my brother was like, you know, you would have got the job. It's just you didn't pass the test. I'm like, I kind of knew. And then I had this dream. And you had the dream, apparently, too. Insane dreams. I don't know what it means. Maybe we should look into it. Pray. You graduated and you flunked Hebrew?
No,
but,
in my dream.
Oh, in your dream, okay.
I had the same response.
Okay, we're going to have to talk about this later. All right. We're going to talk about this later. Okay, not now. But I had to go through these trials. I had to go through these trials. And, you know, sometimes in your life, you're going to have to go through trials. Some of you are going through trials. It's not easy. And the easy way out is to quit. Say, no, I don't want it. It's too hard. Let me tell you, if it's the Lord telling you to go forward and you quit, there are some things you can quit. But if it's the Lord telling you to go forward and you quit, you have put your faith in something other than the Lord. Your faith is in self-preservation. not in the Lord. You are faithful in self-preservation instead of being faithful to the Lord. And that is the biggest thing for us humans, self-preservation. All of us are very faithful in self-preservation. But it comes out in ugly ways. The byproduct is ugly. Being faithful to the Lord will produce completeness, perfection, and you will lack nothing. Being faithful to the Lord will produce completion, perfection, and you will lack nothing. But being faithful to self-preservation, I believe, will produce the opposite of that. You'll be immature in certain areas. You'll feel incomplete. And you'll feel like you're lacking something in your life. But for those of us who can stay faithful, and let me tell you, the trials are not easy. It is meant to squeeze you so that your essence comes out. So that just like when we want the essence of any fruit, for example, if you want lemonade, what do? You squeeze the lemon and the lemon juice comes out, right? As you squeeze it, what comes out? It should be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. As you get squeezed, those things should come out of your life. As you get squeezed, what you are supposed to do should come out of your life. And how you're supposed to do it should come out of your life. And when that happens, and when you are completed, and I'm just going to finish with this. Matthew 25:23, Jesus says this, "Well done," you'll hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Amen. As you learn faithfulness, as you are crushed underneath the weight of trials and testing, and you go through that process, there will be doors that the Lord will open for you. There will be joys for you that only the Lord can give you. You will be able to enter into areas of your life you are not able to enter into any other way, except for through faithfulness. And the fear of the Lord will help you get there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your mercy. I do pray, Lord, for those of us who are going through trials and testing, that you would give us the grace to endure, to be steadfast, to be faithful in the right areas of our life, to put our faith in you, Lord. In your sovereignty, in your greatness, trusting your goodness, Lord, that you have in mind the best for us, whatever the situation may be, and if you're asking us to go through, whether it's hell or high water, we pray that we would have the grace to go through it, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I do feel like some of you are going through tests, and if you are one of those people, I would like to pray for you. After service, come up to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, can you pray for me?" You don't have to tell me what it is, but you can if you want, but you don't have to tell me. I would love to pray for you.